Lord, we thank you once again for bringing us together to hear your word, to receive your word. Father, Lord, and I pray that we will accept your word and let it be food for our thought. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will fill your son's mouth, and as he give your word, Lord, it will be pleasing in your sight. Father, Lord, we thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So I would like to continue with the help of God on the series of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And let me preface this by saying, in our generation, we who worship and move within the Pentecostal movement mainly are introduced to the Holy Spirit in terms of his empowering to give us the ability to show forth works of power, or to what we call the charismatic gifts. The group like Assemblies of God would actually say to you that the way to know you are filled with the Holy Spirit if you speak in tongues, which is not what the Bible says. Because they want something that you can quickly see that is dramatic, and people say you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But this morning, I would like to share with you the most foundational reason for which we need to abide fully in the Spirit, for which we need to walk in the Spirit, for which we need the Holy Spirit to fully inhabit us and present our lives as acceptable to God. So what I want to do, I want to share with you some scriptures, and I like to, let me get a sidekick. Where is Lady Darren? Is she with us on the phone? Is Darren here with us today? Is Darren, you here on the, I thought I saw you. Okay, she's there? All right. Open for me, let's all go. So Darren is going to be reading for us if she's there. I think so. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. So let's go to the book of Luke chapter 1. This is not Christmas story. Let's go read the other parts of Luke chapter 1. Okay. Darren, are you there? Can hear you. All right. Well, Mom, you are going to assume that you take the mantle, okay? All right. Luke chapter 1. Let's go to Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke. Let's go to chapter 1. Let's read a few passages. Then, you know, let's just first front load this conversation with, with the scriptures. So let's go to the Annunciation, which I read, I think, was part of it last week. But let me just start from there again. So could you read from verse 26 all the way to verse 38? And then... Bukki, I'm going to ask you to read from from 39 all the way to 49. So I have those two sisters begin. Okay.
Okay. So I'm reading from Luke 1:26. Verse 26. Okay. Yes. And it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her. "For God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can I have a baby? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's already in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. And then the angel left.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
Okay. Brother Wale, can you continue from verse 57 all the way to 66?
From which verse?
57 to okay. 66.
All right. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord has shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the 8th day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he answered for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God.
Sister Sotis, are you there? Sister Success?
I am here, sir.
Continue from verse 67. Luke chapter 1 from verse 67. Keep reading until verse 80. Luke chapter 1 from 67. Luke chapter 1 verse 67. Yeah.
Now his father Zachariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since in the world, since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and the hand of all who hate us. 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the hopes which he swore to our father Abraham. 74. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. 76. And you, child, will be called the prophets of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the grace came from on high has visited us. 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. 80. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the days of his manifestation to Israel. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. So this chapter and the next one actually give us the fulfillment of the oldest prophecy when our first parents sinned in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord said, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. So for generations, people have been waiting for the fulfillment of this great breakthrough for humanity and for all creation. To that end, God raised Noah, raised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes, the Levitical order, the priests, the prophets, all through, including what we read in Malachi, that before God actually, lest God comes to destroy the whole earth, he is going to send a prophet in the spirit of Elijah to restore relationship between parents and children. So in this chapter, which we miss because when we're doing the Christmas story, we skip it. We skip what is happening to empower ordinary people to be used to accomplish God's great eternal purposes. And the reason I'm saying that is because just you and me, ordinary as we are, whether grandmothers, mothers, young people, very young people, us living in 2021, the Lord being able to accomplish his purposes is in line with what he did for these individuals living under Roman occupation, living ordinary lives. Let me point you out to a few things. So, when the angel came to Zechariah, this is what he said to him. Go to chapter 1 of Luke. Stay there. Don't go anywhere. This is where we're going. So in Luke chapter 1, when the angel came, this is what he said to Zechariah in chapter 1, verse 12. When Zechariah saw him, that's Luke chapter 1, verse 12. When Zechariah saw him, that's the angel, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will name him Yohanan or John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with who? With the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Why does he need to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb? He's not going to be doing ministry there. Why don't we wait until he is ready to do ministry? Because that's not how it is. To be what we need to be, you need the Holy Spirit. Just for you to be the believer that you are supposed to be, you need the Holy Spirit. So if you're always thinking of the Holy Spirit in order to go and preach or do something, you are not cashing your check yet. You are missing out of the greater half of your inheritance. So just every one of us, from young to old, just being who we are, to wake up this morning to worship God in an acceptable manner, you need the Holy Spirit. So I want to entice you, if it's possible, I want to entice you to taste of God's delicacies, not to shortchange yourself by asking God for the dessert when you can have the full meal. You know what I'm trying to say. Just relax. Say, Lord, everything you have for me, I receive it. Just take a minute to say that, all of us. Say, Lord, everything you have for me, here I am, I receive it. All right. So, let's go to the next one. It comes to Mary. And in verse 34 of the same chapter, Sister Aronke, read it one more time. Please, Sister Aronke, read verse 34 and 35 for us. Just one more time of that same Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35.
Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God."
Thank you. Mary, a young, maybe teenage, engaged, ordinary young lady. She is being told. Now, they've been reading all these stories for a long time, that you are going to have a child. She said, I've not yet married. The angel gave what answer again? The Holy Spirit. The power of God will overshadow you. That's the Holy Spirit. That active, effective agent that does whatever God wants is the Holy Spirit. That's God himself. Remember, we defined power as the ability to do. Well, this is the ability to have that accomplished, because in any case, how was life generated in Genesis? And God breathed into man, was a clay, made of clay, human beings, and they became a living soul. That same Holy Spirit, who's always done it, who generates life, will overshadow you, will be upon you, and that one that will be born will be called the Holy Set Apart One. It's not done. Let's go. Let's keep going. In verse 39, so Mary comes out to visit her cousin. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, obviously Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit at this time, the child in her womb leaped for joy. This is what Elizabeth says. And Elizabeth, how does she recognize what has happened? Sister Barnley, how does Elizabeth understand what happened? In verse 41, and Elizabeth being filled with who?
The Holy Spirit, the baby leaped in her belly.
And Elizabeth, however, herself, look at it, Elizabeth herself, being filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed with a loud cry. It was the Spirit that gave her that utterance. You pay attention to it. It was through the Holy Spirit she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me that the mother of the Lord, my Lord, She recognizes the child that Mary is carrying to be her master, to be her Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. There are many people that come to our church and we try to encourage them to respect God, to embrace Christ. They can't sit. Because the greatest person in their mind is maybe Michael Jackson. Because they just cannot see the worship. Sister Bookie, you'll be a scribe again. Can you write that on the chat? Worship, WORTHSHIP. They cannot recognize the worship of our Lord Jesus. Many people in the church do not know how exalted, how grand, how totally awesome the Lord Jesus is. They don't know. So they don't understand why we're singing all these wonderful songs about him. You talk to many Jewish people. This Jesus you're talking about, what is about him? You need the Holy Spirit to fully appreciate God's evaluation of his son. When I give you my testimony, you know why I'm going this way. So let's keep going. Verse 44. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. A child is happy in the womb by hearing the voice of the one bearing the master. Your children, our children, are quite very capable of being moved on by the Holy Spirit. Don't cheat them. They are very, very capable. So Sister Sock says, your children are very capable right now of experiencing the Holy Spirit right now. You don't have to wait. The child in my womb leaped for joy, rejoiced. No wonder. You remember when they came to John? They said, the one you baptize is now baptizing more people. John said, what are you talking about? The friend of the bridegroom is happy. When the bridegroom gets the honor, I need to decrease. He must increase. This is my joy. This is what makes me happy. It didn't start then. He'd been experiencing that from when he was in the womb. That's called worship. To pay homage to one who is superior is worship. It is not how lyrical, how poetic the song is. No, it is the evaluation of the person to whom the praise is given. To understand that, like for instance, I don't know if you watch some old Westerns, there are some people that find a nugget of gold, but they don't know the worth of it. Some of them put it in their pocket. In the old West, they'll keep it for years. And then they go to the city and they say, what is that? Bring it. Let me see. And they say, do you know how much this is? This rough thing, do you know how much it is? Those of us who draw near to the Lord need the Holy Spirit in our lives to daily exalt the Lord. In Psalm 29, David says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Well, in Psalm 99, then he says, ascribe unto the Lord, in Psalm 29, ascribe unto the Lord the glory that is due his name, that he has earned to you. For you to be able to do that, for our sister Wura to be able to do that, you have to know what glory is due God. That you sit in the life of these people, and then Mary, filled with the Holy Spirit, bursts into a song. This village young lady, who is not a poet, pair your prayers with this prayer of hers. See whether you have been able to get there. Let's keep going. Remember, Zechariah he couldn't speak because he doubted the angel. When they asked him, what name should this child have? He asked for a tablet. He wrote it down. And then in verse 67, Brother Bumi, what does this say, verse 67? Zechariah, can you read verse 67 again?
Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy.
Are you hearing? His father, being filled with the Holy Spirit, gave this prophecy. It's not that he consulted articles that have been written about the Holy Spirit. He went to the library, say, you know, Google search and all the research papers, and then gave this prophecy. Being moved, being walked upon by the Holy Spirit, being given strength, insight by the Holy Spirit. He says this, because there's no way he could have known this by himself. Look at the prayer. Read it with me. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of David and spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Our sister read that for us. All of these people involved in the greatest breakthrough for humanity are moved upon by the Holy Spirit to do this. God's greatest work is always done by His Spirit. In fact, all of God's work are done by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Brother Tola, Ogunsan, can you go to chapter 2 for me? Let's go to verse 25. I want you to read from verse 25 all the way to 32. Pay attention to this. Luke chapter 2, just flick to the next chapter from verse 25. Rotola, go on. You're muted.
But we can't hear you though.
Now we can hear him. Okay, go on, Brother Tola, from verse 25. Okay, something happened. Don't worry, I'm going to read it out. I can't hear you. So let me read. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous, devout, looking forward to the consolation or to the salvation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit did what? What does your translation say? Folake in the Fort Myers. What does your translation say? And the Holy Spirit does what on Simeon?
The Holy Spirit was upon him.
The Holy Spirit was upon him. In some of your translations, you say rested on him. Picture that for a minute, right? It's like, you know when a dove, I used to have Madagascar and lovebirds. I had two that I can put on my shoulder. It would just rest on my shoulder. It's a sense of the Holy Spirit has found a home in this being. The Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him, verse 26, by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. The Holy Spirit said to him, you won't die until you see God's redemption. That's not enough. He, guided by the Holy Spirit, on this day that Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus for the dedication required, the Holy Spirit says, Simeon, go, go. Just imagine, Bonale, you are guided by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, go to the living room now. Go to this place now. Guess what happened? Guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the Lord, Simeon took him in his arms and praised the Lord, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed. Then Simeon blessed them and said to them, to the mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also." Simeon is the only one recorded in the Bible who gave counsel to Mary to prepare her for the life ahead, apart from the angel. Simeon is the only one that we know who prepares this young woman for the life ahead. All are done by the Holy Spirit of the living God. So I've shared all this with you because I came to faith in 1978. And I can tell you this because I've said, I basically have memorized it. When I first came to the Lord, I did not know the concept of sin. I really didn't know what sin meant to God. I knew there are some things that were not good in my life, but I didn't know that those were things that merited the wrath of God. I didn't have the theology. I didn't have that understanding. So in 1978, when I said to the Lord, "Could you change my life?" It wasn't because of realization of sin. It was because I saw the joy in other younger people in the fellowship for the first time, different from me, having been in the Catholic boarding school for 5 years. They were truly joyful. And it was not the joy that came from the club. And I just had something in me saying to God, "Could you change my life?" I didn't tell my brother Michael about the prayer. He did not know. So I went back with him home. On Wednesday, 3 days later, somebody came to my house and talked to me about the meaning of the gospel and read Galatians chapter 5, saying, these are the works of the flesh. He did all of that. So I came to understand it took me 3 months to understand the meaning of being born again. Then I met a pastor, Pastor Jonathan Nandy, who took me under his wings and talked to me and said, "Now you need to be baptized in the proper way." I said, "Of course, whatever you want." And then he also prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit. I did not know what that meant. And I wasn't sure what to expect. All I knew was in Assemblies of God, people got up and started talking in a language they did not learn. I didn't know what they were talking, and I didn't know what they were talking about, which actually then is really not biblical. When you stand up to talk in tongues in church, there should be somebody who can interpret it. Otherwise, you have to keep quiet. But I said, okay. And you see, let me just stop there. But so I went to Government College, really, Wafa area. So I went down to the Delta to do my advanced studies. One night, I was just praying to go to bed, and the Holy Spirit came, and I said, "God, you can't embarrass me here now." You see, this boy is in the dorm. So I tried to sigh. I said, "No, no, 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 no." So later on, I realized that was not the right approach. So I said, "Lord, I'm very sorry. You can come again. This time I'll be ready." But anyway, fast forward. So I knew, and it was very different because from then on, I started to pray meaningfully. I still didn't know all what, I wasn't sure. But I remember that week, I went to the library to look for a hymn, "Thou my Only Portion." I wanted to, and then take my life and let it be. They were so meaningful to me. See, I didn't grow up with those hymns. I did not know what they meant, but they wouldn't leave my soul. I was so enamored with the truth that they shared. Well, fast forward, I came to Ife. This time I knew what it meant to be born again. I felt privileged to be a child of God. But I was still doing many things because of the fear of hell. I didn't want to offend God so that I would not miss out on things. I had not yet come to just love God for himself. It was always so that I don't get into trouble. Then I was so blessed. I went to a bookstore in Ife, and I saw a book. It just sounded, the title was so unusual, "Born After Midnight," A.W. Tozer. I picked up the book, and this man wrote like no other person. because for the first time, later on, I got all these other books. For the first time, somebody was telling me that God is lovely, that God himself is satisfies, that God is worthy to be sought for himself, not for ministry power, not for anything, that God himself is the chief treasure. I said, God, can you prove this to me? Because you said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I said, Lord, I would like to taste this. Is this true? He wrote many other things. I can tell you because I've memorized a lot of them. He also said, God is easy to live with. I said, yeah, are you kidding? But later on, he said, God is very winsome. You know, God has a pleasant character. I said, who is talking like this? I've never seen that. Usually I'm hearing of people talking about the greatness of God, his power and his judgment. I never heard somebody tell me that God is lovely. So I've fallen in love twice. Let me just tell you now. My wife knows. Falling in love with God and my wife. But let me tell you about the first one. Those are the two times I've been in love, for which I'm very grateful. Perhaps the greatest treasures of my life. From that time, I started asking the Lord, what is it? Can you show me? Can you show me yourself? Just please. Now I'm in Ife. If you've been to Ife, you know there are a lot of distractions in Ife. If you knew me in Ife, I really did not have time for those things because I had fallen in love with God. I was so thirsty and hungry for God. I don't know how I passed my exams because all I wanted to do was quickly read my books so I can go hang out with God in different places. And it surprised me because I'm usually not like that. I'm usually not like that. I'm 20, I'm 21, so I'm not like that. But I wanted to know God. I wanted to find a way to prove that Jesus is real. And I discovered it's only the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, no one can know the Father except the Son reveals him. No one can know the Son except God reveals him. He said to Peter, who do people say that I am? Peter said, the disciples, who do people, they said you are, some say you are Elijah, some say you are this, some say you are that. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are Yeshua, the Son of the living God. And he said, this could not have been revealed to you by human beings. This is not human knowledge. Only my Father could have revealed this to you. You cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ without the aid of the Holy Spirit. You can read as much as you like of the New Testament. To possess a functional knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said something to us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. A.W. Tozer said the difference between Christians is the level of their hunger and thirst. The difference between Folake, Wale, Biola, Cindy is your thirst and hunger. Not your background, not your education. The difference in all of us will be by thirst and hunger. Moses had a congregation seeking to return to eat slavery in order to eat cucumbers and leeks and other things and fish. Moses went to God and said, show me your glory. The mere fact that God had already been pleased with him, he used it to further negotiate a better understanding of God. He said, okay, if I have found favor in your sight, that's what you said, right? And then now show me your full self. Oh, God said, it's my kind of person. Can I just say, brothers and sisters, relax, throw everything down. Just believe that prayer. Say, Lord, whatever you need to do So I can fully understand you, because this is the goal of my creation. The chief end of man is to know God and enjoy him forever, is to glorify God. That's what we're created for. So God can't deny you the reason for which he created you, right? God cannot. Then I started to find that the things I was struggling against were beginning to diminish. I moved from struggling to yielding and fruitfulness. And I found that I was beginning to hunger for God, and the other idols were disappearing. I started to find the true knowledge of God in a warm, worshipful manner. You remember I told you that I had said to God in 79, don't embarrass me here. So I started praying. I said, Lord, you know I was foolish at that time. You know, don't hold it against me. You can come now anytime you want. I am ready. I want you. Just you can stop. You can be in the bus. I don't care. Do it anytime you want. I'm ready. That period, I was blessed to know the writings of Watchman Nee. I read them with so much hunger. You would have thought I'd come from the Ethiopian famine spiritually. I was grabbing anything that talked about God. I was looking for hymns. I was looking for great songs about God. And I had a brother who had come from Germany, and he brought the recordings of Fisher Folk, a group of Americans who were in Scotland. They recorded hymns. They recorded some folk songs. It was through them I learned hymns like Love Divine, All Else Excelling, The God of Abraham Praise. I learned all of those things, and they accorded with the hunger that was in my heart at the time. So I share this so that, you know, all of these young people, you know, who are in their 20s, it was at that period. So it's still not different from where Soji is now, right? I went to visit my brother Michael in Kano. And I always like going to my brother, because my brother, you know, he and I, we would trade scriptures. He loved Jesus. My brother liked Jesus. Not just that, he liked him. And so he and I would talk, and it just gave him so much pleasure to know that he had a younger brother that this had happened to. He'd been praying for all of us. So I'm my life being with him. We toured Kano together. But that summer, he discovered that I was not hanging out too much with him. And he wondered if there was something wrong. I said, no, I just want to know God. I was climbing trees to read about God. I was reading A.W. Tozer's book, When He's Come, How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. Then one night, my brother Michael and I were just praying, just thanking God. And what I told God to hold off in Ugele, he came. I'm not going to give you all the details. You know, that's between me and God. But that day, I understand that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to see God in his immensity, is to see God's goodness as thoroughly demonstrated in Christ Jesus, is to be able to understand the depth of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I found myself weeping when I was reading Romans chapter 5. Let me read some part of Romans chapter 5 for you. Because for the first time, it dawned on me that an innocent man exchanged my place, that someone who had no need took my place, that he swallowed my shame and gave me glory. Let me read this to you. If I can read it with a straight face. If I can't, I'll hand it over to Kemi to finish. But I think, let's go. Romans chapter 5. This is the logic. Okay, so he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, the Messiah died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps some, for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I couldn't get over that verse. I could not. While we were still sinners, having never had any pleasing effort toward God, the Messiah died for us. Look at the logic. He says, if while we're still sinners, No, it's a much more, but God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more. Hear that? Much more surely, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. That was the first, that was the time I knew that this gospel is truly the good news, because this was good news to me. This is good news. Where is Lady Anike? Where is she? Is she there with Wally? Is Anike there? Is she somewhere there?
She's there.
Okay, come on. Come on, read for me. Okay, John chapter 14. So let's talk. Let's read lovingly the last earthly conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. After Judas left, you know, the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. God reveals himself to those who fear him. So Judas is gone. He now turns to those who were faithful to him. And he starts to reveal to them the depth of the Father's love and the reason why he needed to go. So, Anika, let's start from John chapter 14, verse 1.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, the way you know. The way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Thank you. Let's stop there. Listen to this with a lot of love. I just read, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Put yourself there. Jesus says something like this, verse 12. Verily I tell you, the one who believes in me, you just put your name there. Let's just say we're talking about Sandy. Just take it, we're talking about me too. Let's just say we're talking about any of you, Brother Debo. God says, verily, Debo, I tell you, one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. Will do the works that I do. A partnership. Whoever believes in me, you will do the same thing that I am doing. In fact, you will do greater things than this, what they've seen so far, because I am going to the Father. We need to. Why is that so? We will go and get there. Then, talking to his friends, I will also do whatever you ask when you present yourself in my stead. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean to end prayers in Jesus' name. That's not what it means. It means to take a check to the bank that is written in Jesus, that is written on the authority and the wealth of the Lord Jesus. So you go to the Father to say, you know you would have given this to Jesus. Well, you know he's my brother. You know, I'm a co-heir with him. I'm in him. So give me the same thing. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. It's not a formula to end prayers. Do you understand? You get what I'm saying? To come to pray in Jesus' name is to ask the Father as if Jesus was asking the Father. And the Father gives it to him without that's his son, because that is his son. And all God's children are called sons of God, not on account of gender. It's because his son, Jesus is not the male child of God. No, Jesus is the one who inherits all that belongs to God. That's why he's called the son. He's the inheritor. So you and I, we are God's sons, not male. So when people try to say sons and daughters, that's not this. It's not male and female. That's not the meaning. It means the inheritor, the one who inherits, who is written in the will of the wealthy person. So, Sister Jackie is a son of God. And you better believe it. So he says, if you not only will my Father give it to you, my Father is glorified in me. When you do that, it gives God prestige. I'm able to give him prestige. If you understand this, there's no time to go into it now, you will be blown. Our prayer meetings will be different. And all the fears we have about our children and the future, you better put them to rest now. Jesus said something to them. I'm with you to the very end of the age. Don't be afraid. That's what he said. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, well, believe also in me. In my father's house are many rooms. That is the true translation. So I know some of you are planning, yeah, you're going to have your own mansion and everything. Yeah, it's okay, but let me disappoint you. We're going to live in the same house as Jesus. We're just going to have our room in the same house. I know, Saronki, I know you planned how your garden will be like, what kind of driveway and all of that. I don't know if there'll be vehicles, but you're going to be in the same house. In my father's big house, there are many rooms. So just as Tishé has a room in his parents' home, it's not that they built another one for him somewhere else. Now, he says, so that where I am, there you will be also. You see the privilege of nearness? So that where I am, there you are. He says, no, we're not separated. I'm with you. Okay. How are we doing for time? Well, now we're looking now. We still got, I think we have another 2 weeks to go through this. So let me quickly finish verse 15. Now, look at this. If you love me, not if you fear me. If you love me, you will keep what I have asked you to do. And I then will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete, another advocate, another helper, another standby, another who stays in my place. Look at how he says it. This is the Spirit of truth. He will be with you forever, in whom the world cannot receive. Nobody who has not committed their allegiance to the Lord can receive the Holy Spirit. There is all these people who are stretching out their hand in stadiums and blowing breeze on everybody. And half of them are still stuck, one leg in hell and one leg in the world. It doesn't work that way. They can do all of those things. Just we call those, that's what's called gra-gra Christianity. That's not the real thing. But the true Christianity that brings us to God's glory, this is it. The Holy Spirit will be with us. So he said, you know him. You're familiar with him because he abides in you and he will be with you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Come on. I won't leave you alone. I would never even think of that. I am coming to you in a little while. And it goes on. And then it says, on that day, verse 20, look at it. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. So let me ask you a question. Are you all aware of the fact that you are in the Lord Jesus? He is in the Father and the Father is in him. Do you have that operational knowledge? Are you aware of it on a regular basis? That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. In closing, I would like to read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's close with 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Please, can I ask a question before?
Please do, by agreement, yes.
So I got a little confused when you said about praying in the name of Jesus Christ, something about not ending. You know how when we pray, we say...
I didn't say you shouldn't end. I say when we end with it, that's not what he was saying, that when we pray, we should say in Jesus' name. That's not what he was referring to.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean...
There was a statement you sort of made to that got me a little bit confused. You said something... Okay, can you just explain that?
Let me explain it. So to pray in Jesus' name is for me to present it. Let's say you give me a check, right? And yes. I go to the bank. So right. I am withdrawing money in your name.
Correct.
So you've given me permission to ask the bank to take a certain amount from your account to mine.
Yeah, because the check is in my name.
Yes. Yeah, right. So the same thing. So when you go to the Father, what Jesus was saying is that you withdraw from my account with my Father. So praying in his name means to obtain from the Father what is his that he has given to you.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that unless we end the prayer with in Jesus' name we pray, that you can pray and say, Father, I come to you and grant me peace and I thank you. Amen. God will still answer that, even though you didn't say, I pray this in Jesus' name. But if you're going to the Father, it's based on the fact that you know you're only entitled to this because of Jesus, it will be answered.
Okay.
Let me make it a little clearer. Let me make it a little clearer. So, you know the Lord's Prayer, our Father who is in heaven, it's a prayer. It doesn't
have Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
What I'm trying to say, it's not a formula.
Right.
It is a standing, it's a place of standing. It's where you are standing. Standing in his place. You are getting what the Father has bequeathed to him, but because you have a relationship with him, he's your older brother. You are a co-heir with him. You share the throne with him. So whatever he has, you have.
So it's kind of like my earthly father is Professor Adenuga, for example. I know he's my father without a shadow of doubt. So I walk in somewhere, I don't have to say I'm my father's daughter because I know, right? And I ask for something because I know it belongs to him and I get it. Got you. Thank you.
So that's why we should continue. So I break this down to make sure that when we are teaching our children to pray, because they struggle with prayer, not that they don't want to pray, it's because we've confused them. I remember when my children used to want to pray and say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus. I said, no, you don't. You can just go ahead and say it. Because they thought that's so their understanding was a little bit skewed. So I said, no, you can pray. We can say, Lord, we bless you. And that's a prayer. So I'm glad that you've asked that question, because the reason we receive the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Son of God. Everything he received, we receive. The reason God gives you his Holy Spirit is because you belong to him and you share with the Lord Jesus. So in Romans chapter 8, he said, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We don't have to beg God for the Holy Spirit. You just need to glorify Jesus. It's not something to beg God about. Your begging might be an indication of your hunger and thirst. That's not a problem. That's okay. But I truly want to encourage us to be bold enough to say, Lord, okay, I've tasted a little bit, but this is not enough. You know the saying that if you can't wash your hand with saliva, if you're by the bank of a river, right? So most of us live just on the edge of spiritual poverty. while Jesus has called us to a feast. And this we need to correct. See, today I haven't talked about the Holy Spirit allowing us to function in order to demonstrate the signs of God. That is coming. But today is more on the being, who we be. Who are we? Who are we? The Holy Spirit is God's down payment for our inheritance. You know, you want to purchase a house? You put down a down payment. So God, by the Spirit in us, is telling us that what awaits us, he's going to give it to us. And to show his intention, he's put a deposit. And that deposit is the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit today and tomorrow to a greater level. It's not a once and for all experience. The Holy Spirit then takes over our lives. You're still as individual as you are. Ronke will still be different from Bonale. Kunle will be different from Bumi. But within those our individual expressions, the Holy Spirit can show the many-sided wisdom of God, which is God's goal. In Ephesians, God wants to show the powers in heaven, the dark powers. He wants to show them who is the boss through us by the many-sided display of his wisdom. Or except that most of the time we are praying like they are overwhelming us, that God just save us from these evil powers. Some churches in Nigeria have almost burned themselves out. They mountain of fire. They've almost prayed themselves to fire. Anyway, let's just not even go there. Let's not go. They've prayed fire everywhere, and I don't even know why Nigeria still has a space, especially in the south, with all those prayers of fire and destruction of enemies. I don't know why enemies even still exist in Nigeria, because the way they have been prayed against, there should be no single enemy in Nigeria right now. But you and I, you know the story of that great nation. But in conclusion, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So the Apostle Paul comes to them and he says a few things. Actually, in chapter 2, if you don't mind, please. Chapter 2. In chapter 1, I want to read just a few verses, then I'm going to skip to chapter 2. Okay. Verse 26. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Then chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words of wisdom. I did not become a rap star. You know, your high shall be all these platitudes now that every pastor has to learn. You know, this will be the day of your great day. Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come with those clever manner of speaking for one great reason. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus and him killed on the execution tree. I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Apostle Paul, you, what? Will you hear that from anybody now? I came to you in much weakness and fear, nervousness and trembling. Apostle Paul, before these ordinary Corinthians, my speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with what? a demonstration of the Spirit and power. The reason? So that your faith, Sister Kike, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet, verse 6, among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of the age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now look, listen to verse 9. Now let's read it in context. But as it is written, what no eye had seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has promised for those who love him, is not done. It's not a full stop. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the Spirit, the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, so that we may understand the gift God bestowed on us, or the things God has freely given to us. And we speak these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. That is our calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because eternal life is that we may know the true God. We may know the one and only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And that is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So from our mothers, you know, Mommy Olubumid, Grandma Ned, the Beggy Days, Brother Peter, is your mom with you? Okay.
Not today.
Not today. All of them is covered when Joel said, it shall come to pass in those days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon your young men and your young women, upon the old. So this is what I want us to do. Sister Folake, take permission from your mom to put hands on her shoulder. We're going to first pray for our elderly, for our the esteemed elders in our midst. So where is Sister Elizabeth with us today? Okay. Grandma Ned, are you on your own? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You're on your own? Okay. So we're first going to, in humility, just open up. We're just going to lift our hearts to the Lord, and we want to pray for our grandmothers and grandparents who are here. So the rest of you, I know Bumi, me, and Kemi, we are fatherless and motherless. But don't worry. We are going to adopt anybody. I'm going to adopt Sister Elizabeth. I'm going to adopt my mother-in-law. So grab somebody in your mind. I don't care. I know your mom is not here. Grab somebody. Think of somebody. Whether it's Bob's mom and, you know, Sister Bookie, you've got your mom. You've got, so all of you. Brother Wally, are you like me also as an orphan? You are not, right?
No, I'm not. I have both.
Okay. So all of you, grab your parents, your grandparents. Pray for them. Let's pray for them now. Let's just take some time. So Lord, fulfill what you spoke by your prophet Joel, that you will pour your spirit upon young and old. And we pray for our esteemed elderly folks right now. They are not done. They have more to do. Let's pray. I'm going to ask Brother Bumi to lift them up in prayer. Brother Bumi, you mute yourself and pray. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for all the elderly folks we have in our midst. We know it is not by age that you do what you do. As you thought it fit to fill John the Baptist right from the womb, and by your spirits, Caleb was able to take the mountain. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of them, that you will fill them with your spirits to overflowing. that they would love you with a love that they have never had before. And that, Father, you will draw them near to you, even in a deeper and more meaningful way than they've ever experienced. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. So can we pray for the younger ones then? So all of you with your children, they either just put your hand on them and lift, let's lift up all our children, the younger ones, from 0 to 24. Let's just pray for all of them. Sister Kemi, when you feel led, just go ahead and pray.
Lord Jesus, thank you because you said that you ask the Father and you will send us another comforter who will be with us forever. Thank you, Lord, because you love all the children. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of the new covenant ratified in your blood. Lord, thank you because you have given us the greatest gift. This is the gift that they were waiting for, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We ask for our children, all our children, those present with us now, those who are not here. Lord, please fill them with your spirit. Lord, please put a hunger and a thirst in them that they have never had for you. We ask in your name. Amen.
And finally, I'm going to ask Wale to come in, the rest of us, and Sister Ronke. So the two of you just pray shortly on the in-between, and the in-between, between the young and the old, the all of us in between, that we would truly be filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God.
Lord, we thank you because it's your pleasure to give your Spirit to all who ask. And Lord, we pray for every age group. We pray for our older and younger ones. Father, those of us who are youth, though, all who are in the age, the prime of their days now, Father, fill us with your Spirit, that by your Spirit we may do all things, Lord. Remove religion far from us. Give to us the true religion that is truly shaped by your Spirit. Father, I pray that you fill us in a way that would fill them, fill this age group, I include myself. Father, in a way, Lord, that will be obvious to all that we are led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for a time like this. Thank you because we are gathered in your name. Thank you, Lord, for all we have learned. We thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus, who took up our shame, Father, because of your love for us. You demonstrated your love for us, Lord Almighty, by sending your Son, Jesus, to die for us. And we say thank you. And our Lord Jesus Christ also said that he would give us a helper, the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. Fill us, Holy Spirit, in everything we do. Father, above all, teach us to love you. Because, Lord, when we love you, all other things would be able to follow your commandments, Lord Jesus. And everything we need to do, Lord, would be easier for us because of our love for you. Because just as a child loves their earthly parents, they want to please their earthly parents. How much more, Lord, we teach us, Lord, to love you so that we can please you and so that everything we do, Lord, will look to please you. So, Father, as you have asked us, Lord, to ask in your name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in every age group. Our old ones, our young ones, and those of us in between, we ask that the Holy Spirit will rest upon us daily so that, Lord, we can walk according to your precepts. Your word tells us that, God, that your thoughts are deep. So nothing happens by accident. Father, even when I look out daily, I see the beauty of all you have created, Lord. And I know that indeed, Father, your name is glorified in everything. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, everyone. And I'm not going to apologize.